गुलिस्ता पे शादा भी साया फगन है, उम्मीदों की निकहत बहार।
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning on our program, The Bliss of Marriage. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. It's cold, it's a bit windy, and it's overcast on this beautiful, mashallah, Wednesday morning here in Johannesburg. My engineer this morning, of course, Haji Suleiman Esop, he will be with us from now till 12 East, inshallah. Our WhatsApp number, 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +2 784 786 3132, +2 784 786 3132. Today is the last day of the month in August, Wednesday, the 31st, 2022, which is also the 3rd of Safar, 1444. Myself and Haji Abu Yusuf, this morning on our program, As-Safina to Ila Al-Jannah, we were actually speaking about the month of Safar. We are already in the second month of Safar. My wonderful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, I want to welcome our beloved, wonderful listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal and company. And of course, I want to welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I'm looking at the messages coming in. Yes, you can. Somebody's asking, Malana, is this the number for the questions for the program? Yes, that's our WhatsApp number, 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +2 784-786-3132. +2 784-786-3132. Yeah, I can see the questions are coming in. So that is our WhatsApp number for our program, The Bliss of Marriage. The 3rd of Safar 1444. We'll start. It's a beautiful, cold Wednesday, chilly, overcast morning. Welcome to The Bliss of Marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum on Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Ustad, a lady conceives from an affair. She is, however, in the nikah of Mr. A. The lineage goes to Mr. A. However, upon discovering the truth, Mr. A cannot forgive her or move past it, so he wants nothing to do with the child. When Mr. A dies, does the child still inherit, or does Mr. A have a choice? Is disowning the child, and will there be a son if he does ustad?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us just crystallize and make clear what the question really is. There is ABC husband, there is XYZ wife. They living happily, and then shaitan gets hold of them, so the wife has an affair with somebody else, obviously, and then she falls pregnant from this adultery. But adultery is punishable by death. Remember this, for both parties, male and female in Islam. There are no two opinions on that. And for fornication, it is, remember, 100 lashes each, as mentioned in Surah 24, chapter 24, verse 2 of the Noble Quran. And adultery, more than 50 Sahaba mentioned the hadith. open Takmila Fathil Mulhim, you will find the name of all the Sahaba and students and companions of the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that's point number one. Point number two, Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al waladu lil firash, walil ahiri al hajar, walil ahiri al hajar. So meaning that the child in normal circumstances, the lineage will go to the father, biological father. And for the people who commit zina and adultery, for them you must pelt them to death, they will be the death penalty. So that is what the hadith say. The hadith is authentic, and in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, various compilations. So the second one. Now let's look at the practicality of it. Initially, the husband did not know that his wife had an affair, and now she fell pregnant, and now after that he discovered that this child is not his child, this baby is not his. So if he forgave the wife and so forth and so on, and they continued with life, then the lineage of the child will go to this father, then the child will inherit everything when that father passes away. So that's one case, one scenario. Second scenario is that that father, he makes nafyul walad, that husband, he makes nafyul walad. He says, this child is not my child. So when he says, this child is not my child, so now they got another two, three options. Number one, he says, I don't want you, as he says, he doesn't want her as his wife. So he divorces her and he says the child is not his child. So in a case like that, the child's lineage will go to the mother, and obviously that when he passes away, nor will the wife inherit, nor will the child inherit. The wife will not inherit because she divorced, and the child will not inherit because he rejected the child and said, it's not my child. So therefore, the lineage will go to the mother. So that's another case. The other case will be that where the husband says, okay, that I'm rejecting this child here, that I don't accept this child as my child, but he will not divorce her. So they're still staying as husband and wife and so forth because of the other children or whatever circumstances it might be. So when he passes away, the wife will inherit, the other children will inherit, but this child here will not inherit, because you must remember that he told her that this child is not my child, so the lineage will go to the mother. And in Islam, but this is now in Muslim countries, there are verses for all this. Go open Surah 24 and verses 4, 5, 6, 7 and all that, and 8 and all, you'll find it's called Li'an, where you invoke curses and so forth. But that you need a judge, Muslim court, lot of stories. So remember that either he keeps his wife or either he divorces her. But once he says Nafyul Walad, he's rejecting, then the lineage will go to the mother and not to him. And when he dies, then the child will not inherit from him if he rejected the lineage of the child. So that is the golden rule we must remember.
So Ustad, when must istikhara salah be performed, and what is the method of performing the salah, Ustad?
Remember, we need to understand three issues here. Number one, in life we all have to make decisions. Must I stay in Lanesia? Must I stay in Johannesburg? Must I move to Cape Town? Must I move to Durban? Wherever. So must I marry Aisha? Must I marry Fatima? The lady, must she marry Ahmed? Must she marry Muhammad, Abdullah, Abdul Qadir, or Suleiman, whatever it is. See? So life is every day you'll find some challenges, some decisions have to be made. So there are three things. That number one, you make mushawara, mashura, shura. It's all same words basically. Meaning you discuss with people. But if you go into the philology, into the history of the word, then you will understand the beauty of it. So surah to shura, chapter number 42. Istikharajul asal. So it is to take out the honey from the honeycomb. The best you take out, you see. So you listen to everybody's opinion, this, all that, then you choose what you know is the best opinion for you regarding our deen, our Islam, our dunya and all that. So that is what you call mashura. The sad part today is the ummah says, the organization says, we want to make mashura. But there's no mashura. Everything is pre-decided. excited. And kali, they just make spaza, you know, just to make people fools. That they tell them, okay, what's your opinion? But everything is already pre-decided. So you don't call that mashura, you call that ikhbar. You're just calling us to inform us, this is what we will do and so forth. So we need to draw that distinction. That therefore, when you go in jamaat and all that, they say, before the mashura, there must not be a mashura. And after the mashura and decision is taken, there mustn't be another mashura. So that is what Islam is teaching. Remember that. So that's first one. So you discuss with people in whom you got confidence in, not with harkas wa nakas, every Tom, Dick and Harry, kullu man habba wa dabba. I told you in 3-4 languages here. Harkas wa nakas is Urdu, kullu man habba wa dabba is Arabic, Tom, Dick and Harry, and Tom, Dick and Mary is English. You must discuss with people in whom you have confidence in. Understand that. So that is the one law. Second one is, then you must decide what you feel is the best, provided that it is permissible. Second one, you're still not confident and you're still not sure, make istikhara. What is istikhara? You ask Allah, Ya Allah, I don't know which way to turn, you show me. So in Maqasid al-Hasana by Allama Sakhawi, you will find, Ma khaba man istikhara. When a person makes istikhara, he will not be a failure. Wa la nadima man istashara. And a person will not have regret when he made mashura. So we understood the difference? Shura, mashura, mushawara is with people. Istikhara is direct with Almighty Allah. So if you got time, like now today, Wednesday, mashallah, after Zohar, du'as are accepted, you read 2 rakat salat. Suleiman says, nah, he wants to get married, but he's not sure. He wants to marry Zainab or he wants to marry Jamila. So he reads Surah Fatiha, 1st rakat, Qul Ya Kafirun, after Fatiha. 2nd rakat, Surah Fatiha, Qul Wallahu Ahad. And thereafter, just ordinary 2 rakat, Nafil salat, voluntary salat. And thereafter read Allahumma khirli khara khire Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. Ya Allah, you select the best for me and you choose for me. Same time the answer will come in your heart. The hadith in Tirmidhi. In Islam there is no such thing, you must go and sleep and you must dream and all. No way in Quran and hadith that is mentioned. That was just the opinion, suggestion of some ulama that you can do it that way. But it's not the sunnah or something. We must know that. It's just an opinion. So we must be clear on that issue there as well. So Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. And in that way, the sahaba used to make their istikhara and same time they make decision. The lady is in her menses. Now how she should make istikhara? So you don't have to read salat. You just say Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. You have husband, I contact you. You know these big business people, multi-millionaire operation they're running and big corporates. So I phone you, Brother Suleiman, I got a parcel here, $1 million, million rand, of 10 cars or 5 cars or 2 cars or whatever. You wanted it. He say, no, I'm going to make wudu, then I'm going to read salat and then make istikhara. I say, okay, you to carry on. Then this person not interested, they'll give it to somebody else. You see? So they want on the turn, same time decision. So say, fine. 1 second, 2 seconds, just wait. Allahumma khirli waqtarli. Same time what come in your heart, in your mind, that is your decision. You say, fine, I'm taking it. Fine, I don't take it, I reject it, and so forth. Provided that the commodity or the transaction or whatever you want to do is something that is permissible. So that is what you must do. When is the best time to make istikhara? The best time is the Hajjud time if you're reading Salat. Wednesday after Zohar, that's today. So any time when it's not makruh time, and make dua any time. So then, inshallah, there'll be khair, there'll be goodness in your decision.
Ustaz, the listener is saying that if we don't invite certain people to a wedding and they pitch up, do we have the right to send them away? That's exactly what I'm going to do this coming Saturday, Ustad.
You must remember that if you got the nikah in your family, your daughter, your son, or whatever, then you must send now to Mona Arafat the invitation and so forth on Friday mornings between 10 and 10:30, that he will announce it in the nikah program, inshallah. So that's first thing you do. Then you inviting them for the nikah, not for the chow and for the food and all that. Second one is this, that you inviting them or informing them that your son, daughter, grandchild is getting married, because now they can make dua. And most importantly, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, a'alinun nikah, announce the nikah, waj'aluhu fil masajid, and perform the nikah in the masjid. So that is what Islam is teaching us. So we need to be very, very clear on all these type of issues here. So now a person comes and he's not invited. So you can tell him by that we got limited amount, we got limited resources and so forth. So in that way, but politely, the aim should not be now you make a big drama and a circus there. He start arguing, you start arguing and fighting. So you're going to mar the occasion and they will cause more controversy. And if you got the heart, jiska zarf bara ho, Allah Ta'ala inko bara bana deta hai. So this person pitched up, you understood? For whatever reason. Now you cook a little bit extra and so forth. Now if you cook for 100 and 110 people came, just say go and finish in club. So you must remember both ways you can do it. So if you got the heart, allow them. But you don't want to, you got all the right to tell them, no, you are not invited. But you will get in Urdu and that, they got a special name for this. You call them Tufaili. What you call them? Tufaili. Tufaili are the, what you call them? Maulana, the gate crashes. You understood? They just gate crashing. You understood? So they just come without invitation, because why? The boys' party asked them that who invited? You see the girls' party. If the girls' party asked them who invited? You see the boys' party. By the time they find out and all that, you sitting quietly and all that, and you started your meals and all that. So anyway, it's not permissible to do that for those people who are gate crashing. But remember that either politely, diplomatically, you tell them to go. And if you want, then just allow them. There's the chairs or there's the dastarkhan. Just sit quietly and eat the finish.
So, Ustad, can I donate my kidney, Ustad, to my wife?
So remember that regarding there's naqlul a'da and all this, you know, that transplanting, you must remember. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Nawarallahu Marqadahu, he was the grand mufti. He passed away in Shawwal 1976. We met him several times with Allah's help, Allah's mercy. According to my understanding and that who we met, he's considered as one of the greatest muftis and jurors in the whole of Indo-Pak, not only Pakistan. So remember, if you just read and what khidmat he made and so forth. So anyway, that he wrote this and they said it's not permissible. But then other research came and so forth and so on, because these are masail where you have to make ijtihad. So we say the fatwa. Those ulama who say not permissible, we love them, respect them, and we say that is the taqwa and piety precaution, fine. But we say if it is a matter of life and death, it's not for aesthetic reasons and, you know, for beauty and cosmetic reasons and so forth, and you're not selling it, to sell it is haram and so forth. So take this situation. Now just take this example. We don't know the person, we just answer the questions as the questions are posed to us. So this husband, he can donate his kidney to his wife. It's matching and everything according to the doctors and what have you. And it's matter of life and death. Obviously, he can't be selling it to his wife or anybody else for that matter. So our fatwa will be in a case like that, where it's not for cosmetic reasons. It is for dharura and necessity and life and death. Ad-dharurat tubihul mahzurat. That is the law in Islam. So remember, remember things that are not normally permissible because of the darura, then it will be considered as permissible, meaning there won't be a sin involved and so forth. As the Quran says, فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. So that is our fatwa regarding that issue.
25 minutes after 11, a sister says, Ustaz Anonymous says that, Mufti Sahib, my husband went to the Urus last Saturday. Now he wants to take the kids, Mufti Sahib. He says he has joined this group of Urus. Is it permissible or can I refuse, Ustaz?
Remember that normally what happens in an Urus and Ur Sharif and so forth and so on. Let me explain to you the history, geography of it and that, then you will understand. You see, if you study Suratul Jumu'ah, chapter 62, verse 2, there Almighty Allah Jalla Wala mentions the functions which He, Habibuna Rasulullah Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has to fulfill. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi. You recite the Quran Sharif for them. So the Sahaba, male, female, adult children, all must know how to read the Quran Sharif correctly. They don't have to become Qari Sahib and like Sheikh Abdul Basit or something now, rahimahullah. So basics you must know. For you zakihim. And you must purify them, sanctify them. Purify them from kufr, blasphemy, shirk, polytheism, idol worship, and from nifaq and hypocrisy. So that is to do with our belief structure. Then our own selves, to purify them from the pride, arrogance, jealousy, envy, hubbul mal, hubbeja, from the excessive love of this world, and of wealth, and fame, and name, and fame, and all those things there. So that is called tazkiyah. Our people nowadays call tasawwuf. Third function, wa yu'allimul kitab, teach them the import, the meaning of the Quran Sharif, tafsir. And wal hikmah, teach them the meaning of the hadith and so forth. So tazkiyah, tasawwuf is an integral part of our deen. There's no question about that. What made Hazrat Hassan Basri rahimahullah, what made Pirani Pir, Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah, and them great, remember, is this field of tazkiyah, they mastered it as a Junaid Baghdadi, rahimahullah, and all of them. So we must be clear on these issues. Then what used to happen, like nowadays, you will see the sheikh, the murshid, the peer, he will tell his murids and his students, whoever, see, I will be in this masjid, I will be in this place. So you all must come here during Ramadan and so forth. So they come and so forth. And then they go and they have a refresher course and so forth. So that is what Urs actually meant in those days. That the peer sahab, the sheikh, then he passed away, then his khulafa, his students, senior students, whoever, they would carry on and all that. So it was done like that in those days. But nowadays, I've been to Iraq, I've been to Iran and all these things there. When they have Urs nowadays, from A to Z is haram. 99% is haram. They have Qawwali there. They have dancing there. They have people worshipping the graves and bending down, making ruku, sajda, asking the grave, give me health, give me wealth, give me children. Since when Islam allows all these type of things? So for you to send your children to such places, you find sometimes drugs going on there. Stop. Some guys are giving out daha and all these type of things here. If you go, you go today to Iraq, see the kuffar Shias. You see, yeah, I mentioned it this morning, but now we are with a different station. What we are with Sirius FM. We thank and we say Jazakumullahu khairan to our brother Faisal Asmal and Yusuf Asmal and our Markaz Sahaba team, to the Capital Group and so forth. I mentioned it this morning on Ansar Radio and so forth. You see, the problem with us, we don't understand that what is the original. So it was 10th Muharram. It was the day of Ashura. It was 61 years after Hijrah. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu is there in Maidan Tufuf, the place, the plain. I went there also with Allah's help, Allah's mercy. And then remember, the place is called Karbala. The country is called Iraq. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu saw that these Shias, they're killing my people and the Ahlul Bayt. So I'm reading from you from the Shia Kitab. The book's name is Al-Irshad, and the author is Shia author Sheikh Mufid. And you can go check it on your Google and all these things here, if you know Arabic. Inna al-Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wa salam rafa'a yadayhi wa da'a ala shiyatihi. He raised his hands, Mubarak, prior to his martyrdom, obviously. And then he cursed the Shias. And this is the dua he made. Allahumma in matatahum ilaheen fafarriqhum firaqa waj'alhum dara'iqa qidada wala tardal wulatu anhum abada. So this is mentioned in your book, the Kuffar Shia book. So ya Allah, if you give them life, let them become splinter groups, and make them into many groups and parties, and never let the rulers be happy with them, and they must not be happy among themselves. They must fight. See now, today, yesterday, today, the Shias of Iraq, they Arabs, and the Shias of Iran, they are Persians, Farsi. So among themselves they are fighting, and 20 plus people are dead already. That is the curse of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. Now you go to Iran, you go to Iraq and all these places, wherever there's a mazar, wherever there's a shrine and there's a masjid, everywhere 90%, you will see the mazar is full and the masjid is empty. Why? People are making ruku sazda by the grave. And I want this, give me this. The man and woman, and then the music is playing, the band is playing, people are shaking their bodies. Since when all this is permissible? Therefore we say A to Z, all haram, does not permissible. You can't send your children there.
Ustad, I see that somebody just sent a question, says, but mut'a was allowed before. You know that, Ustad.
Remember, mut'a was allowed, and Khomeini is a pakka kafir, non-Muslim. He said muta is permissible. For 1 hour also, go see his book, Tawdihul Masail. We prepare to challenge any kafir, kuffar, shia when he says that muta is permissible. The muta you are doing, O kuffar, shia, today in Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, or wherever else, Pakistan, or wherever, that type of muta was never ever permissible in Islam. In Islam, for the few days or whatever it was permissible, was when it was people were going on a journey and so forth. And then thumma nusikha, that also got abrogated, cancelled. And today it's only marriage, remember, permanent marriage. The kuffar shia translate muta as temporary marriage. There's no such thing as temporary marriage. It's 100% zina. Hazrat Imam Jafar Sadiq rahimahullah said al muta hiya zina bi ainiha. People who say muta is permissible or was permissible, the analogy, the qiyas, the example I'm giving. So alcohol also was permissible. So now if you say, because it was permissible, so today also is permissible, so what you are, you'll be a fool and an idiot. So it is cancelled, abrogated, finished. So similarly, muta, not at home. Today the Shia kuffar, they are making muta at home. Therefore BBC carried the whole document. They sent an undercover agent, and in Iraq, and the government objected on them. So the non-Muslim said, but this is 100% prostitution. So that's exactly what we are saying. So remember two things the Shia, the Kuffar have legalized. No religion has legalized. No Judaism, no Christianity, no Hinduism, no Buddhism. No one has legalized. But the Kuffar Shia have legalized. One is Mut'a, prostitution, and one is lies, to speak lies deliberately. That they call taqiyya. They hate Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They hate and detest Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. They hate and abhor Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu. They hate Siddiqa, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, Sayyidina Hafsa radiallahu anha. Amir Muawiyah and his family don't speak. They hate and curse him every day. So these are all eminent sahaba. But you ask them, then they will will say, no, we like them, we love them, and us. So that is just lip service. So therefore, that kuffar there in Cape Town in the Shia temple, he said himself, so remember that, then we exposed him, then everybody came on board, so you must remember that with Allah's help.
Ameen.
So you must remember that we said that any person says, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, and Amir Muawiyah, and anybody else, remember of Sahaba, hypocrites, they're out of the fold of Islam. And inshallah, this afternoon, you will find something we'll send out. One person, even he said, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, is a narcissist. So people like that are playing with the iman. You must remember, you can go right out of the fold of Islam. You know what is the meaning of narcissist? Narcissist means you are in love with yourself and you feel that you have great self-admiration and that. So to say for things like that, for Sayyidina Umar, even before Islam, you're insulting Sayyidina Umar. So remember that these are things we must expose. We can't keep quiet on all these issues.
Allahu Akbar. Well said, Ustad. Send that breaking news. I'm waiting for it, Ustad. Ustad, somebody says here, my mother-in-law and my mother, they fight like cats. My father and my father-in-law are best of friends. How do we sort the mother issues out as all husbands suffer? Ustad.
So you must remember when the fathers are good friends, father, father-in-law, whichever you want to be, and then you look at it this way, yeah. And that is, you must remember the mother, mother-in-law, they say you must remember that what it is, that is. So it's all to do with meh-meh-tu-tu. You don't understand meh-meh-tu-tu, it's all good to do with pride. This mother wants everything her way. That mother-in-law wants everything her way. So therefore, you must remember they keep on fighting and then causes all the big problems, acrimony and so. So tell one party, just keep quiet and the other party, let them speak. Or tell them they must not keep contact with one another. They must curtail the contact. So everybody will live in peace then. So that is the easy way of solving and resolving the problem. The main thing is the pride and arrogance.
Well, let's go for an interval, inshallah. When we come back, of course, we will continue with the bliss of marriage. Don't go away. Stay tuned.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahle Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahle Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Well, it's exactly now 20 minutes to 12 o'clock. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning. I see many, many listeners are asking, Ustad, where will be our beloved Fadilatul Ustad's Jumu'ah this coming Friday, Ustad?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inshallah, this week we will be Friday. Every Friday we go to different place, Alhamdulillah. So this week we'll be in University of Johannesburg, UJ, inshallah, at Auckland Park, Musalla, whatever they call there. And few weeks ago, I was there in Wits and so forth. So the news spread, mashallah. And then after that, we have Q&A. So we don't have to compromise anything. Everybody knows my stance. You must remember that. I never encourage university. For boys also, we say that go and study by, you know, what you will call correspondence. But if you go, then make sure you protect your identity, all that. For ladies, we say it's not permissible. We're very clear on that issue there. So remember that we say that when you study, we're speaking of South Africa and most parts of the world, that either they will lose their haya, shame and modesty, either they will lose their virginity, or either they lose Islam totally. How many incidents we know of that? So therefore, we go there and many other ulama go there. So remember to educate the people. Inshallah, somebody gets hidayat and so forth. That comes from Almighty Allah. We must continue with the effort. And what they do and all that there, our job is to just convey the true message. Finish.
I see somebody says, Ustad, my husband and I had opened a medical aid. Every month we're paying 2,200. But for months, Mufti Sahab, we're not falling sick. Your advice, Ustad.
So remember this. It don't mean you'd be taking out medical aid so you're going to fall sick and so forth and so on. So remember, it's just like a precautionary measure. Allah forbid. We all know. I mean, let us be honest about these issues here. That in South Africa, if something happens, Allah forbid, can you really go to a government hospital? They will tell you for the operation or what have you, does that. You will have to come after 3 months, 6 months, or maybe next year. Or there's no emergency and so forth and so on. So now you have to discuss the issue of medical aid for husband, for wife, for anybody. We're speaking of Muslims. So is it permissible or not? So in South Africa, remember, not only South Africa, many parts of the world, there are two verdicts. Some ulama say not permissible, and because they will say that this is like insurance, you know, insurance, life insurance, or car insurance, or house insurance, whatever it is. So therefore, it's not permissible. So we say that we in South Africa, and so in this kind of countries, so we must look at the halat and look at the conditions as well. So our Honorable Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Haq Sahab, Hafizahullah, myself, many times we discuss all these masail, jadida, this new. So Hazrat also says it's permissible. We also say it's permissible. Therefore, I mentioned the name, so you must remember. If I say that I don't agree with Sharia banking and all that, then I'll tell you that I even challenge and told Mufti Taqi Sahab, Mufti Rafi Sahab, we don't agree with these things. So they're all alive. So you can go and confirm all these issues with them and so forth. So we must remember that number one is this, that we say medical aid is permissible because you must remember that you look at the halat today of South Africa and you look at the government hospitals and what. And there are other issues also. So that is. But when it comes to insurance, your life insurance, car, house, shop insurance, so we don't accept that. And the takaful and all that, we don't accept all this. We say it's not permissible, and that was always for past 30, 40 years, that is the fatwa we are passing around. So people must not try and play, you know, and say no. You say one is permissible, so the other is permissible. No, we never ever said that. So people just try and twist the words many a time.
Ustaz, I got a question from someone. They wanted to inquire from Mufti Saab if Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhim as-salam had two sons and two daughters. How did the progeny come about to start?
Remember that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala answers that question in the beginning of Surah 4, verse number 1. Go open Surah 4, Surah Nisa, and verse number 1. Go open chapter 49, Surah Hujurat, and verse number 13. See, I give you the verses. I read for you and translate. Surah chapter 49, verse 13. Ya ayyuhan nas, O humankind, O people, inna khalaqnakum min zakari wa unsa, we created you from one male and one female. So who was the person Allah Ta'ala created? It was Nabi Adam alayhi salam. So he was the first insan, the first human being. But then he's in Jannah, he's alone, no wife, no life, meaning that. So now he's lonely. Ya Allah, I need a spouse, I need somebody. Wa khalaqa minha zawja. From him, Allah Ta'ala created his wife. So you know, the rub or whatever, you must remember. So all that, Allah Ta'ala knows everything best. So the wife is created. Then, now she's there, he's there. They can't touch one another. So Allah Jalla Wala performs the nikah, right, in Jannah. And then now you can't go touch her still, the nikah, but what about the mahar? You have to pay the marital gift. The word is mahar. So read salawat, salutations, durood sharif upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if you open Zadu Sa'id, all that, you will find it there. So the nikah is performed, the mahar is paid, everything. Now they are husband wife. So how, what? Now Quran says, let's just translate and then I'll explain to you. Inna khalaqnakum min zakari wa unsa wa ja'alnakum shu'uba. We made you into nations. Wa qabaila, and tribes. Lita'arafu, so that you recognize one another. Not litafakharu, I speak this language, so I'm better than you. I got this complexion, I'm better than you. Islam rejects all that. So that's first point. Surah 49, verse 13. Go to Surah 4, verse number 1. Surah to Nisa. Surah. That chapter Surah is entitled, you must remember, as Surah Nisa, the women. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states, Ya Ayyuhan Nas, that O you humankind and O you people, what must you do? Ya Ayyuhan Nas, Uttaqu Rabbakum Alladhi Khalaqakum Min Nafsin Wahida. Fear your sustainer, nourisher, provider who created you from one soul, one person. And that is Nabi Adam alayhi salam. So he was alone. Wa khalaqa minha zawjaha. From him, his spouse was created, Sayyida Hawa. Not Hawa, Hawa. When you spell in English, H-A-W-W-A. Whenever there's a shadda, there's a tajdeed, the letter must come twice. Always remember that law. When you do the transliteration, what you call. Anyway, then nice husband wife. Now everything is done. Nikah performed by Almighty Allah. Mahar paid, salawat, durood sharif. Now they meet husband wife. All is in Jannah. Wabassa minhuma rijalan kathira wa nisaa. So thereafter they meeting all these things here. So now when they come, now the mistake was done. Anbiya don't commit sin. So they are ma'asum. A mistake it was. He forgot. Fanasiya adamu walam najid lahu azma. So they ate from the tree. They were sent into this world. So now they had first two sons. So one son's name Habil, one son's name Qabil, right? So when they had that, then they had to make qurbani and sacrifice. So Habil's one was accepted, Qabil's one not accepted, out of jealousy, pride, rage, anger, fury. He murdered and he assassinated his own brother. So when she, Sayyida Hawa radiallahu anha, used to give birth, so she used to give birth to sets of twins, meaning there will be two boys and two girls. Then again, next one, two boys and two girls. So like that. Or one boy and one girl. Like that. So remember, say it like that rather is better. So it will be one son and one daughter. Then one son and one daughter. So like that it used to come. So it was Allah Ta'ala's wisdom and his system. So now let's just make example. So the first set was one boy, one son, one daughter. So they can't marry. Now the second time she gave birth was the one son, one daughter. So that second set, so that son there could marry the first set daughter. And the first set boy, son, could marry the second set daughter. So in that way, remember, the population exploded. وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. So that is what Almighty Allah speaks about, Surah An-Nisa and verse number 1. Obviously, that nowadays, Allah, you see, Sharia was evolving, changing. And then Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, is, will always be the last and the final messenger for all times, all places. So then came with the final Sharia, the final code. Nowadays you can't do all that. It's haram, obviously. So Surah 4, verse number 23-24, Almighty Allah mentions 14 ladies. We as men, we cannot marry them. They're haram for us. So we need to understand this thing, these issues properly.
So, sir, what happens if the medical aid invests in haram, Ustad?
So what they invest in is their business. You must remember these type of things there. So you take, for example, you are buying, or you are, I just give you easy example. So you must remember that I am selling knives. I am selling cutlery, crockery, or whatever. So then I sell, and that person takes that knife and go murder somebody, so I'm not held responsible. So similarly, a prostitute, somebody comes, the drug dealer, and they buy from our shop. So that money comes to me. You don't say that money is haram. You don't have to ask every customer what is your income and so forth. So what they do is their business and all these things. Yeah, but we saying the principle is this, that because of the zarura, need and so forth, therefore we say it is permissible. But I told you, that is our fatwa. There are many ulama who don't agree. We love them, we respect them. We will say that is better and precaution. 100% we agree with that.
Somebody says, I got 3 son-in-laws and 1 daughter-in-law. If mothers just think we had our lives, leave the children,
They must love their lives. I am very happy with my children and my children-in-laws. Ustad.
Very good. Apna chorna nahi inku chorna. Apna chorna nahi inku chorna nahi. If you understood this one sentence in Urdu, it will make life very easy. Apna chorna nahi. So you got your husband, you got your children, you got your grandchildren, you got your own parents, whatever, or siblings. So apna chorna nahi. So don't leave your family. And inku chorna nahi. Don't go make all poke here and poke here, poke your nose here, poke your nose there. What you doing, daughter-in-law? What you doing, son-in-law? What you're doing? So that is good advice, that let the son-in-law and your daughter lead their life. Let your daughter and your daughter-in-law and your son lead their life. Don't go and poke your nose there. Let me go see that I get complaints today that the mother-in-law enters the room of the daughter-in-law. She wants to see what type of underwear the daughter-in-law is wearing. She wants to see which type of clothes she bought. Now, since when all that is halal? All that is haram, obviously. So you, mother-in-law, also must realize that give them enough space to lead their own life. And you, daughter-in-law, also you are wrong. You sit there the whole day and your husband is gone to work 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. You will wake up to tip-top condition, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And whole day you're watching movies, whole day putting makeup and lipstick and I don't know what and what. And then mother-in-law must clean the house, mother-in-law must cook, and then so what you doing then the whole day? So life is give and take. You must remember this type of thing. Therefore, to be honest, in the olden days, if you ask me 30, 40 years ago, I came to South Africa. I am South African now, but I came from Pakistan end of 18 November I came. So 81 January I started then Darum Newcastle, Alhamdulillah, 20 years, wonderful. Then 2001 I came here with Channel Islam 17 full years. Now we here with Allah's help more than 4 years. All Allah's mercy, Allah's help, and Allah Ta'ala's nusrat all the way. So that if you ask me this question 35, 40 years ago, I would tell you no, stay with your mother-in-law, everything. Because people remember they still had that big heart and so forth and feeling. Today, 80%, 70% they don't want. So therefore, in this day and this age, we say from the start, make it clear. My son is interested in that one, that family's daughter, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell them from the start, you know what? Let's see your daughter. We will make separate house, separate accommodation, everything separate. Because once you put in this day, this age, two women in one kitchen, then not only the steam come out, you find a lot of all things coming out there. So remember, we're speaking of majority. Yes, 10, 20, 30, 50%, you will find that they click and they find, but majority don't work. So rather from the start, rather you go live separate and then they can love one another, respect one another and so forth. That is our advice.
So Ustad, I would like to know if a woman's foster uncle is her mahram, Ustad.
You must remember that yahrumu min al-radai ma yahrumu min al-nasab. I don't want to get involved in long story. Islam gave us principle. So I am the husband. She, the lady, is my wife. Then we have children, right? So when the children, they'll say, this is my father, this is my mother, this is my grandparents, this is my uncle, this is my auntie, like that. So take the same example. So when my wife, she breastfed that small child, the adopted child, you understood? For example, so in a case like that, that now that child who's 3 months, 6 months, and 1 year old, so he now becomes the foster child and we become the foster parents. So how you will work in blood relationship, you will work in foster relationship. So that is the law Islam gave.
Somebody says, Mufti Saab, my co-worker keeps arguing with me that Jesus, peace be upon him, is God, and God created us in his image, as mentioned in his Bible. How do I respond to Ustad?
So you, very easy. Why are you breaking head with him? So tell him or tell her, whatever, we don't know who the person is, that say, you Christians say, that Jesus was born on 25th December. So if Jesus was born 25th December, it means before his birth, there was no God. Before his birth, there was nothing. So, but the creation already came into existence millions, thousands of years before Jesus. So how can Jesus be God when he didn't create, when he himself was created? So that first point, you got it? That no Christian can answer today. And first of all, to say Jesus, peace be upon him, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu salam, his Milad Mubarak honorable birth took place on 25th December is a big fat lie. Nobody can prove it in the Christian church. And if you go to Quran Sharif, you go to the Bible, then he was born in summer, not in winter. I've been to Palestine, occupied Palestine in December. So you must remember, it's so cold there. It's winter, midwinter there. So remember, Quran says, "Wahuzzi ilayki bijiz inna khalati tusaqit alayki rutaban janiyya." You must just shake the tree gently, O Sayyidah Maryam radiallahu anha, and the fresh dates will fall. Allah gave you water, Allah gave you dates, everything for you, and you place your trust in Allah, your name will is shining, glittering forever. I attain, Allah made mother and son two signs, and so forth. So remember that. So that's one argument. Second argument, you must ask them, you say Jesus is God. Then how come Jesus was put on the cross and he was crucified? So if God can be killed and so forth, so which kind of God is he when he is killed and so forth? And while he was being killed, then who was running the world? So who was running the world? Who was making the sun rise and the sunset? We reject all this as Muslims. Third one, you must ask them, Christians believe Easter time. This whole Easter and whole Christmas is hoodwinking the public and making them fools. We must remember that. So in a case like that, what happens is we find that when he was crucified, then he's buried in the tomb, in the grave. So they say that happened Friday evening. So Sunday morning, when Mary Magdalene comes, the tomb is empty. So how can Jesus be God when he's born, when he dies, he's crucified, and he's buried? Then who's running the world then? So you ask any Christian, till doomsday, they can't give the answer. Okay, well, we finish with the program. Let me run through with our programs. So 12 o'clock is news. So remember with Brother Suleiman Esop and thereafter Mona Ridwan Kaji, the harms of and the bad effects of drugs. So that will be interesting. 1 o'clock Adhan, 105 to 130, Surah Mulk, Surah Tabarak Al-Ladhi. Today we start, inshallah, verses 1 to 6, 130 to 2, Surah Rum. That is chapter 30, verses 14 to 21, 2 to 3, current affairs with Brother Yusuf Ali. 2 to 3:40 will be the repeat of this morning's Q&A. Very interesting. 3:40 to 4 will be the dua and zikr. 4 to 5 will be Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki mohar nubuwat. So meaning that Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's features and seal of prophethood by Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri hafidhahullah. That's in Urdu between 4 and 5. 5 to 7 Mohana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 Surah Tabarak al-Ladhi, the repeat, verses 1 to 6. 7:30 to 8 inshallah Mohana Yunus Patel. Then 8 to 9, Dr. Abdul Majid Khatmi and Brother Shafat Ahmad Khan. And thereafter, 9 to 10, after the Isha Azan, the neglected immune defense system. And that is, you must remember, words. So that will be 8 to 9. Then 9 to 10 will be, that is what doctor's program. Then 9 to 9:30, Sheikh Shuaib Maida. And 9:30 to 10, Mawa Salim Kareem, inshallah. So that's our programs. Now the news, inshallah. Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum.
And tomorrow morning, 4 to 6, at Safina to Ilal Jannah. Up next, the 12 o'clock news with Haji Suleiman Esop.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.